committee to order and welcome everybody. And I will go ahead and I will let my partner here open his.
Thank you. Open the Interim Committee on Transportation.
Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and start off by opening a work session on the introduction of committee bills. And Patrick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Before us, we have you have a list of House and Senate interim transportation bill drafts that are in your packet. Because we don't have a quorum in the House side today, we're only going to deal with the House LC drafts today. There are four of them. We talked about one of them at our previous meeting, and that would be LC 1367, which requires the use of a hands-free device to lawfully use a two-way communication device while operating a vehicle on a highway. That was brought forward by Representative Tomei. I do have one small change that Legislative Council has suggested that we could adopt conceptually on that one. It's on page 2 of LC 1367. Thank you. LC 1367. It's in subsection 4. Currently it says...
What line is that, Patrick?
I'm sorry, line 13.
Thank you.
Actually, line 14. After under 18 years of age, the suggested language is, and who is using a hands-free accessory. The reason why is that language is necessary is currently this draft makes the use of a cell phone without a hands-free device a primary violation. But the way the language in subsection 4 is written is that for a person under 18, it would still be a secondary. Mm-hmm. So to make that consistent, that language is necessary. So Heidi Allmeyer, our drafter, suggested conceptually amending that in there when we make the motion to adopt, if we make the motion to adopt. So that's the first one. The other three, LC.
Could you please repeat the name again?
Oh, thank you. So the language would be on page 2, line 14, after the word age, we would add, and who is using a hands-free accessory. And the remainder of these, LC 1534 extends the move-over requirements that were created by House Bill 2176 in 2003 to include roadside assistance vehicles equipped with warning lights. And then it also contains a definition of those roadside assistance vehicles. This was a bill concept that was suggested by AAA. LC 1536 allows rental and lease companies that rent and lease cars to submit a certificate of non-liability when receiving a notice of a parking violation that was received by that vehicle while it was in possession of a renter or a lessee at the time of the violation. That was brought forward by Catrala. I believe it's the Car and Truck Rental and Lease Association. I think I've got that all right. And then the fourth one is LC 1601, which specifies that road machinery, such as backhoes, front-end loaders, and road graders, and it's an extensive list that's included in the bill, or the draft, are exempt from title and registration requirements provided they are operated in construction zones or on a highway or alley incidental to their use in a highway maintenance operation. This is because DMV is no longer registering or titling these vehicles for road use. But they are still sometimes need to operate on a roadway, so this would exempt those. And that was brought forward by the Association of Oregon Counties, and they worked with DMV, and DMV, I believe, is amenable to that. So those are the four bill drafts we have before us, Madam Chair.
Thank you. We do have people in the audience if there are any questions. Otherwise, I would take a motion to introduce these as committee bills. Madam Chair, I move that we introduce LC 1367 as amended on page 2 of the bill, line 14, after age, who is using a hands-free accessory. Also, LC 1534, 1536, and 1601. It has been moved that we introduce LC 1367 as amended, LC 1534, LC 1536, and LC 1601. Any objections? Seeing none. Ordered.
Okay, since
Welcome, Senator George.
Since we have a quorum, we'll go ahead and introduce the two bills that we have ready. Colleagues, we have LC 1363. Senator Monroe provided this, permitting the sale or purchase of catalytic converters without ODOT permit. As I understand from his explanation that he gave us last committee, you know, as an attempt to do something with the metal theft issue. LC 1366, which is at the bottom of your page, is grants authority to the Board of Commissioners of Multnomah County to establish tolls for the use of bridges over Willamette River. This is one Senator Starr talked about, but we thought they had the authority, and they disputed, so we will introduce a bill that will allow them to have that authority if they should so do, and have an interesting discussion about that. And again, members, before I ask for a motion, it's customary that we introduce bills for the committee. It doesn't mean you support them or oppose them. We just want to get them filed for the session. So if there's any questions, I would ask for a motion for those two.
So moved.
Okay, Senator Starr has moved that we introduce LC 1363 and 1366 as committee bills for the 2009 session. Any questions? Any objections? All right, so ordered. The other two colleagues, 1364 and 1365, did receive permission to wait until our November 10th final meeting. There was just so many mistakes. I shouldn't say mistakes. You know, when you ask somebody to draft a concept, it comes out a lot. There was just so much I wanted to change in that before we introduced them. They're making those changes, and we got permission to introduce those on November 10th. So we're going through that right now. With that, I think, Madam Co-Chair, it's all right. We'll go into our information meeting, and we'll open up an informational meeting on women and minority-owned businesses and also the apprenticeship program. And I'll begin by asking Matthew Garrett, Director of Oregon Department of Transportation, to come forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Matthew Garrett, Director of the Oregon Department of Transportation. Mr. Chairman, I can do this either way. I can speak to the individual issues, speaking first to the women and minority-owned business efforts specific to the Department of Transportation, stand down, let the other good folks share their thoughts, or I can roll both the minority-owned small business effort and the apprentice all at once. I just defer to you.
Well, I think what we'll do, in your case, Mr. Garrett, I think it would be good to go ahead and provide your whole basket. Okay. We may call you back, but at least we'll have that information out. And before you begin, just as a reminder to colleagues, there's been a lot of questions, and you may have been involved with some of those or read some things, and concerned about providing contracts to minority women-owned businesses. You know, that was a specific item that we included in the 2003 OTIA 3 package, and there's a lot of concern, including the chair, about that we're not accomplishing the task that we had asked for. And so I've asked Mr. Garrett and others here to testify is, what is the status? We have barriers. What are they? Are they structural barriers? Are there others? And how do we move to actually getting results? So that's what we're trying to achieve today. So with that, Mr. Garrett, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate it. And also with me is Michael Cobb. Michael's the manager of our Office of Civil Rights. He can certainly answer any questions that I may stumble on. But let me start by saying the intent. Again, the chairman referenced the OTIA 3 bill and a following budget note that said very specifically that involvement of Oregon construction firms and employees, the use of Oregon firms and employees, emerging small business and minority and minorities will result in economic stimulus that will benefit the state overall. We certainly embrace that. We subscribe to it. And we put forth several different efforts on a couple different fronts. I will first speak to trying to put more people of color boots on the ground in our contracts. There is a history. If you look back at our history, there has been somewhat of a challenge. And there have been many barriers that have been articulated to me by folks that we can't get to the table, much less compete for projects. My commitment to what I will term small business, and when I say that, that encompasses this patchwork quilt of minority-owned business, of women-owned business, of emerging small business, of disadvantaged business enterprises. Now, the alphabet soup that has different directions, different constraints within. But I see that as small business, because I know here in the state of Oregon, a small business is the economic backbone of the state. I want to grow those opportunities. I believe that was in, that's truly the intent and what was embedded in the OTA package, economic stimulus, job creation. So the outcome is to grow a more diverse and qualified workforce in order for us to deliver on the infrastructure investments you and your colleagues provide us. We sat down, we listened, we rode circuit, we brought folks from the small business communities to help inform us to better understand what the barriers are in doing business with not only the Department of Transportation, but the state of Oregon in general. And we found some. Some of those were structural within my agency. Some of those were procedural. Some of the issues were outside my agency. They spilled into other sister agencies that we're working with right now to address some of those things. The bottom line is, what we've tried to do at ODOT is remove the barriers. We've tried to take away some of the onerous paperwork type issues that we would put these people through. Again, these are small businesses. Not a lot of time to sit down and do the paperwork, because they're out boots on the ground getting work or trying to secure work or doing work. I appreciate that. I understood that. Still, we have to make sure that those folks that do come to the table to compete, we have the appropriate information that they do have the capacity, the wherewithal to deliver, to work with the prime contractors, to deliver on the investments. So we looked at various issues. How you compete with the big boys? Can you somehow lower the requirements so we're not having to compete with the major primes? We've done that, and I will articulate on two fronts our ability to drop contract size down so these small firms can enter and be exposed to heavy highway construction, both on the professional and technical side and on the construction side as well. As you lower the contract size, lower the requirements in terms of insurance, in terms of risk, in terms of bondings, these were major barriers to get people to engage in our effort. They just could not play the game at those levels. So again, our first go around was to sit down and listen to these folks. Tell me what the challenges are. Because I promised one thing. I promised them the opportunity to compete. I would remove whatever barriers there were that my agency may have put before them. But I owe them nothing more than that ability to compete. And what I thought I would do is start from a ruling that came from the Ninth Circuit Court, which said, in order for you to have specific goals to target disadvantaged business enterprises in your bid contracts, you must have some compelling evidence to show there is underutilization, inequity, discrimination. And it has to be statistical, it has to be anecdotal. That was a ruling that came back in May of 2005, and what it did is it had a chilling effect for all intents and purposes, that we had to now stand down. And we held on as long as possible. But eventually, under the threat of lawsuit, we stood down. We no longer put those hard goals in. We made a decision to engage in what is termed a disparity study. We wanted to know exactly what the environment, the universe was. Did we have inequity here? Did we have the opportunity to continue business as we were doing, or did we have to make some course corrections here? So we engaged a national firm, a firm that has done business across the nation. We said, go forth and give us a better understanding of what we truly have before us here in the state of Oregon. And what they came back with, they completed their efforts in December of 2007. And what the study showed was, while the overall performance of the agency specific to disadvantaged business enterprise was positive, there was some exposure, there was some liability up in the Portland metro area specific to African-American firms and Asian-owned firms. In the subcontracting area, they're saying there's a capacity that exists. You are under that capacity. The term they use is underutilization. In addition, since the time that we had suspended our goals because of that Ninth Circuit ruling, we had seen a decrease of about 30% from about 36 to 38% of the contracts being subcontracts being awarded to disadvantaged business enterprise. It had dropped down during that time frame to about 26. So without the hard rules in there, even though we have good relationships overall, we perform well, as they say, we did see a diminution of this effort. So, now what to do? So we know we have underutilization. It's very specific. It's surgical where the liabilities truly exist. So we said we have a couple options here. We can look at the way we do procurement, or we can seek a waiver from the United States Department of Transportation and its secretary, saying, listen, we have a methodology that has identified this underutilization. We need your concurrence in that methodology, and we will seek a waiver so we can now reinstate hard goals specific to the projects up in the Portland metro area to try to bring equity, a balanced playing field specific to the African American firms and the Asian firms in the areas of subcontracting work. After much collaboration,